During the 1980s in Nicaragua, the Sandinista government nationalized lucrative timber and seafood concessions held by U.S. companies in Nicaragua's Atlantic coast. They accused the Americans of exploiting the resources and leaving the region in poverty. Now, with the Sandinistas out of power, American investors are coming back. But thousands of Miskito Indians who fought for their Atlantic coast homeland in the decade-long Contra War against the Sandinistas have also returned. With their villages wrecked and no jobs, many now pin their hopes on foreign investment. But the reappearance of American businessmen has touched off a battle over who should develop the rich resources of the Miskito Coast, and for whose benefit. Producers Cecilia Weissman and Alan Wiseman visited Nicaragua and prepared this report.
It's a steamy morning on Nicaragua's Miskito Coast. A four-wheel drive Toyota pickup and a Russian Jeep, both heaped with luggage and spare gasoline tanks, bounce along a logging trail, kicking up yellow dust that thickens the dense Caribbean heat. Atop one vehicle sit three Miskito Indians who fought against the Sandinistas. They're armed with 9mm automatic pistols. One of them serenades the group with songs of the war.
And our face is getting raw from the wind.
Well, you never see longleaf before.
The Miskito ex-soldiers are escorts for a group of three businessmen from the United States, something that hasn't been seen here for over a decade.
My name is Bayard Swift. I'm from a little town in South Alabama, and I'm down here to see what the possibilities are for helping this country get back into the wood business.
Bayard Swift, a solid, square-jawed man in his 60s, owns an Alabama lumber business. He's perched in the back of the pickup. Sitting next to him, holding onto his straw hat, is John Batson, a forestry expert from Louisiana.
Well, this road was built by the Robinson Lumber Company back, I think, in the mid-1940s.
The men take in a huge vista of rolling hills covered with long-needled Caribbean pine. These stands of timber are part of the largest tropical forest in Central America. For nearly 10 years during Nicaragua's civil war, they were untouched by lumber companies. All along the road, the truck hits enormous potholes left by bombs and grenade blasts. The ride is a bone-jarring test of the investors' determination. John Batson is undaunted.
We both have been aware of the lumber industry historically in Nicaragua. So to hear again that there was some possibility, well, you know, let's go see.
They want to take us on a certain route.
Yeah, okay.
The Miskito governor has invited the Americans here to scout the North Atlantic coast's bountiful resources. It's been 3 years since the Indians and other native residents of this remote province won autonomous status from the central government. Even though their former enemies, the Sandinistas, are out of power, leaders on the Atlantic coast are as committed as ever to run their affairs without interference from far-off Managua. They know their province is potentially Nicaragua's richest, and some of them are convinced that Americans are the best hope for rebuilding their economy.
This is a little mill just like what we call Peckerwood sawmills that kind of disappeared.
In the midst of the forests, the Americans come upon an enormous hulk of blackened steel tubes. An old lumber processing plant gone to seed during the war.
You know,
deja vu. I can't read the thing.
They peer at an old boiler dating back to the early days of the Somoza dictatorship, which ruled Nicaragua through much of the 20th century.
1949, that's current enough. Not as old as I am anyway, huh?
It's a big book. As they say in the vernacular, it's a big mother.
John Batson realizes where they are.
We know the man that ran this mill, I think from about 1957 to 1959.
We had lunch with him on the day before we came down here.
The Miskito governor and his advisors, some of them former Contra commanders, are hoping to capitalize on a long tradition of American interest in the area. Until the Sandinista Revolution, Americans mined the region's gold, exploited its shrimp and lobster beds, logged its timber, and provided most of the jobs. This mill once employed 300 people. Today, unemployment on the coast is 80%.
Is it too early to ask you what this facility can provide?
An advisor to the governor is accompanying the Americans on their tour.
My name is Sergio Baltodano, chairman of the financial department for the North Atlantic regions of Nicaragua. My goal here is to support free enterprise.
Sergio Baltodano is not a Mosquito Indian. He is a wealthy Nicaraguan businessman. When the Sandinistas took over his family's extensive holdings, he moved to Miami and supported the Contras. Now he's back with some big ideas for the Atlantic coast.
He's a product of about 11 years of contact. And now it's much easier to pick up the phone and call someone in Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, and say, it's time now to get together. We have an area in Nicaragua that is ready to grow.
So he's brought the Americans here to convince them. The caravan reaches the village of Huaspam on the Coco River, Nicaragua's border with Honduras. Before the war, this was a thriving mosquito trade center. Now there are barely any boats on the river. In the muddy streets that run between Huaspam's rickety wooden houses, the only traffic is from jeeps belonging to international relief agencies.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of like a big overgrown biscuit.
Beneath a thatch awning, a mosquito woman serves the visitors breakfast. Over eggs and glistening slabs of spam donated by relief agencies for returning villagers, Sergio Baltodano tries to sweeten the deal for the lumbermen, Batson and Swift.
We're going to make sure you come, and we're going to give you some land for you to have your summer home. We need people like you in our country.
The businessmen, a little sore from their pounding journey, express some concerns.
Sergio, what y'all going to do for income from the province?
At the present time?
Yeah, I mean, you don't need much money on these roads, but y'all don't have any money.
Right before the roads or before any investment, I think that is an assurance by everybody and his brother that you got a stable government. And that's coming, and I'm sure you're working on that.
Pretty good egg.
Thank you. Gracias.
During breakfast, a small mosquito man with a map rolled under his arm has been waiting patiently to talk to the Americans. He is the mayor of Huaspam.
Nosotros nos alegramos bastante. Lo que queremos es empleo. Empleo.
We are very happy you are here, the mayor says. What we need is work. John Batson is pleased that the mayor is here. He has a question for him.
The main thing that I wanted to know from the mayor was where the largest trees are, where he could guide us to the different types of woods.
Bueno, aquí en la zona del río Coco abajo, no contamos con...
The mayor unrolls the map and points to spots along the river where there are untouched stands of mature pines, mahogany, and cedar.
No solamente sacar las maderas, sino que sembrarlo de nuevo.
He says he wants investors to come. But with Baltodano interpreting, the mayor tells Batson he has a concern.
What the mayor's saying that during the Somoza government, some foreign company were allowed to cut trees, but they never reforest. So they don't want that to be done again.
Be sure, and I understood his comment, be sure and assure him that we want to participate in any basic reforestation program to be sure we have a continuing supply. We accept that and understand it.
Hundreds of miles away in Managua, the nation's capital, a battle is brewing over the mosquito homeland. News that the mosquito governor is courting American investors has some federal officials shocked, like Nicaragua's Minister of Natural Resources, Jaime Inser. He insists that the autonomy agreement with the Atlantic coast did not give the region control over its resources. And Inser has a warning for potential investors.
Si estos señores hacen trato con el gobernador, están cayendo fuera de la ley.
If these men make deals with the governor, they are breaking the law.
Seated under a large portrait of President Violeta Chamorro, Inser claims that the Atlantic Coast's resources are a national treasure that belong to all Nicaraguans. And like the mayor of Huaspam, he's worried that the investors could exploit the natural riches and leave nothing behind. To prevent this, he's trying to set up protected federal zones on the coast.
No estamos aquí peleándonos por un control económico.
We're not fighting for economic control, but instead for environmental control, which is something Atlantic Coast people are not aware of. There are certain abusive speculators who are trying to get rich by tricking their own people.
De engañar a sus propios paisanos sobre el rol de la autonomía.
But the regional government has its own resource minister, Stedman Fagath, a former Mosquito commander of the Contra Army who worked closely with the CIA. Fagath is well connected in Miami, and now he's the Mosquito governor's chief advisor. He says that the central government has no business telling the Mosquitoes how to develop their own resources.
We are initiating a new campaign of war, this time against the age-old exploiter, which is Managua.
Contra los explotadores de siempre, que ha sido Managua.
Fagath says the talk of environmental protection is just a smokescreen to hide Managua's greed for the Atlantic Coast's wealth. He points to a provision in the autonomy agreement that says a just proportion of the income from the region's natural resources should remain on the coast, with the rest going to Managua.
80% for us, 20% for them. That's more than enough.
But not all Mosquito leaders agree with Fagath and the governor. The Mosquitoes were divided during the war, and they're still divided.
This is incredible what they're doing.
Brooklyn Rivera led a rival Mosquito faction during the war against the Sandinistas. Today, he heads a ministry in the Chamorro government to improve ties with the Mosquito region. He's also vehemently opposed to Fagath's plans for the Mosquito homeland.
That is a very irresponsible position, and I think our people in the communities will not allow this will be happen. They know that they're suffering, but I don't think they're eager to give up all their resources just for jobs.
But Brooklyn Rivera has lost credibility and influence among his people since he went to work in Managua. The impoverished Chamorro government is too weak and too mistrusted to enforce its policies far away on the coast. Ironically, it's the Sandinistas who may be in the best position to challenge the Mosquito governor on the dangers of uncontrolled foreign investment.
That is the big threat for the Atlantic coast. Nobody's in control at this moment.
Myrna Cunningham is an Atlantic Coast Sandinista leader. Members of her party have a strong minority presence in the regional governing council. Lately, they've been holding meetings, frantically trying to figure out what to do about the return of American capitalists.
Sometimes I feel that the central government doesn't want to organize things. And in this way, investors will come into the Atlantic coast and solve some of the problems that the government doesn't have any will to solve. When we finish organize our government, we won't have a region. The region will be divided between investors and multinationals.
Back on the Mosquito Coast, the American businessmen are finishing their resource survey in a village on the vast Bismona Lagoon. This is the richest marine breeding ground in the Caribbean.
How many lobster, how many langusta can you get in one day diving?
Diving?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's get 200 pounds, sometimes 150.
Very good.
A U.S. seafood company representative, who identifies himself only as Fred, heads out to tour the lagoon. His canoe is piloted by a Mosquito fisherman with an ancient, sun-dried face.
Bigger.
Okay. Fred was once a U.S. intelligence agent in Southeast Asia. Now semi-retired, he's investigating the possibility of flying Mosquito Coast lobster and shrimp directly to the United States. Taking a notepad from his khaki jumpsuit, he carefully records the information he gleans from the fisherman.
How much does he get a pound for lobster tail?
The price for just the tail, how much?
$2-$3.
$2-$3? Yeah. A pound.
Pound. Very good. Okay.
Very good.
After inspecting the lagoon, Fred joins the lumbermen, Swift and Batson, for a walk through the village. As in many other Mosquito Coast communities, the people here returned after the war to find their wooden and bamboo houses burned to the ground. In a clearing, the Americans watch a group of mosquitoes with long black hair dangling down their backs saw boards from huge tree trunks. They are former Contra soldiers who've hauled the logs from forests 3 days upstream to rebuild their homes. The arrival of the Americans creates a stir. Villagers gather around. The investors are led over to a thatched shelter where a generator sits in rusting silence. One mosquito man, dressed in a frayed t-shirt and shorts, steps forward.
Ahorita estamos bien mal, porque nosotros no hacemos nada.
We are in terrible shape because we don't do anything. We have a pretty lagoon with fish and shrimp and oysters and clams and crabs and turtles. But we sell nothing.
The people hope the Americans will get their generator working to power a refrigerator so that they can sell the seafood they catch. The Americans aren't optimistic about the generator, a Czechoslovakian model left over from the days of the Sandinistas. But it's only a matter of time, they suggest, before the logging and fishing begin again. Bayard Swift says that if conditions are right and the government looks stable, he wants to be part of it.
In my own small way, I'd like to show that the capitalistic system works. I've always had a soft spot in my head for Latinos. It's just something to do and maybe do a little good. If you can imagine a conservative being a do-gooder, maybe that's what I am.
Fred, the seafood company representative, pulls packs of gum from the breech pockets of his khakis.
It's good for your teeth. Make your breath kissing sweet.
As the children line up, he unwraps the gum and places the square white tablets on their tongues, just like he used to do in Vietnam, he says.
Open them up. Open them up.
Off to one side of the crowd stands a lean mosquito man, Mario Lemos, one of the armed guards the governor sent along with the Americans. Mario fought for 10 years in the Contra Army for a mosquito homeland. He's old enough to remember that Indians lived in poverty when Americans were here before during the Somoza rule. This time, he insists, it will be different.
Yo ando con estos señores.
The governor sent me to show these men where the riches of the Indians are. But they can't trick us now. We've learned. We fought a war. We want them to come and work or lend us something so we can pull ourselves out of our problems. We don't want them just to give us handouts.
No seconds,
no seconds.
With Alan Wiseman, I'm Cecilia Weissman.
No empuja.
I want to see some chewing going on back there. Okay, I got her chewing.
Oh, you guys already had some in the back.